Здравствуйте, дорогие друзья. Начинаем наш воскресный вебинар.
Hello, dear friends. We're starting our webinar as usual. We're in the studio with Dr. Michael Lyman, Boris, and I, Semyon Venikor. We're talking about the wisdom of Kabbalah, the secret of unity between male and female. Should I continue? That's our subject today. We have translations to many languages. Friends have prepared questions. We'll ask them live. And in the meantime, about this unity between male and female, between man and woman, can you begin? These are polar forces, male and female, from one source, which is the Creator. There are two forces come down. A force that is the force of bestowal, love, reflection outside, radiating outside, and the force of reception. It's an artificial force created by the Creator that didn't exist before creation. It's an attribute of reception, of absorbing, that afterwards becomes an egoistic attribute. So these two forces exist like plus and minus between them in all of nature, in nature of the upper world and our world. What else do we need to know? That these two forces were formed this way so that they really exist in opposition to one another. In order to, for us, we are the attribute, the negative attribute of receiving. In order for us to, precisely with the help of our attributes, determine the opposite force to us, the Creator, and not just determine it, but to create a certain contact with it. Like unity, like inside an atom. There's no positive or negative force that is separate. We always measure and feel and see them in oppositeness to one another. This is how a negative force that we created by the Creator, we need it precisely in order to define it so that we'll feel it. Because as the force that is positive and influencing, bestowing. And that is how we create contact. To reveal it, to see, to determine, to sense, to get further away and closer to it. To make a long story short, to see what state we're in against it. To learn its attributes. To absorb his attributes. Despite our being opposite, how can we, in our opposite state, be equal to him? We're positive and not negative. It's a very not simple question. Of course, also the answer to this question. So we have a lot to speak about. It's not just the secret of unity between plus and minus, between the creature and the Creator, but rather not just the secret, I would say revelation, how the creature that is created opposite to the Creator develops and reaches as the opposite state, completely opposite state to the Creator, and begins to feel this state as harmful, not effective, insufferable. And afterwards, I do everything to rise above this state and begin from it, from this negative, to create something positive. How is it possible? Because the creature is not capable of changing his nature in any way. So it turns out that the creature can only change the use of his nature, meaning despite me being completely created as negative, I am capable, even all my negative attributes, all my tendencies, my acts, it will all remain negative. But I can truly can transform them to positive because the final result of them will be positive. And this is truly the secret, how to do it. We are not capable of imagining this to ourselves to describe. That's why we call it a secret, because we're not there yet. We're in our egoistic negative attributes, and we understand that our whole world is one long ego. All of the static, vegetative, and inanimate nature, it's one long, all the elements in nature, all the connections between them into a live organism or growing an organism, doesn't matter. They all operate only according to one principle. To receive, to absorb as much as possible from what's good for me, and to get rid of what cannot be good for me, not harmful, etc. That's pure ego. It's the program of creation, the correct and healthy program that exists in us and controls us to the extent that we can control it. Nothing. We're not capable. We actually, in our state, altogether, we're puppets that are operated, meaning we have this egoistic program in each of us and all of us together, and this is how we operate. It appears to us that we operate, but actually the force of nature operates on us. It turns us from left to right to left, how it wants to, according to every vector, and we carry out the program. And apart from this, we have another uniqueness, certain uniqueness, that we don't imagine to ourselves that we're controlled. And nature controls us even without asking us. In this audacious egoism, we exist. We ourselves are completely controlled by this nature. The moment that a person has a question, why do I exist? For what? Then suddenly it turns out that in nature there is some defect, a bug. How can a person who's completely controlled by nature suddenly ask, why do I exist? How, etc. So nature itself awakens in person such a question. It gives him freedom of choice to begin to ask about himself, his destiny, why and how. It's not simple. It doesn't show up in a lot of people. It's the egoistic development process. Then we ask it more and more. But it's actually the only question that nature awakens in us. For to awaken us, to take interest in the program of our lives. What's with us? What are we doing? Are we doing everything instinctively? Or that we are capable of changing our actions or critiquing them properly? Where do we have these thoughts from? So from this moment, a person begins to somehow be a human. A person. And onward, he'll advance to the awareness that he's controlled against his will, that there's the management of nature that arranged it for him. It's a harmful management, that something has to be done with it, etc. So it turns out
начало духовного развития человека. Именно с этого вопроса, зачем мне жить, для чего я?
The beginning of a person's spiritual development is precisely from there. Why do I live? It sounds depressing, like a depressing question, but it's actually a very necessary question. Because precisely from this point, a person begins to research how, why do I agree with it or not? I want to know the source of this control in me. I don't want it. I want to be otherwise. I want to rise above this source of control over me. I'm not willing to be in this slavery that he has put in me, this source of control. Semyon, we started with male and female. How did you suddenly get to freedom of choice? Is it so connected? Rav, in the meantime, we have no freedom of choice. And there's no beginning of male and female. We're simply talking about a person that wants to understand why he exists. And afterward, when he begins to research himself and sees, after he finds the right books, it's usually the wisdom of Kabbalah. Sometimes it's psychology at the beginning or books. But if he begins to dig, he'll, of course, reach the wisdom of Kabbalah, and he'll understand that the upper force, nature, controls him. This is what we call him, or the Creator, which is one and the same. And then a person really wants to understand where this nature is bringing him, why does a person exist, how nature manages him. And here he starts to understand and recognize that he's controlled by two forces, a negative and positive force, and he himself apparently is neutral, meaning even the ego in him, the will to enjoy, it's not his. It's also directed at him. So he himself truly is a completely natural body that's influencing. On the other hand, maybe there's an altruistic force of the Creator that's always in opposition. Semyon, so between sky and earth, that's what they're talking about? You can say so. To make a long story short, here begins the research inside a person, the negative egoistic force that usually absorbs, takes inside it, consumes. This force we usually call the female force inside us and everything. We're talking about objects of nature, and the positive bestowing force, fulfilling, we call this the male force, the Creator. So it works out that nature divides us into two parts, but it doesn't belong to men and women in our world. In our world, we're all the same. We're completely egoistic. And on us, there's only this negative force operating on us and the positive force we need to develop this negative force in us. Semyon, the question is about the question of life. Is it a female question, the meaning of life? It's not a female question, the meaning of life. The minute a person's emptiness reaches a certain state, 1, 2, 3, 4, when a person understands that his whole life is completely meaningless and purposeless, and it's just for the sake of doing a series of mechanical acts to exist, then he starts to ask why and what for. And this is an act that, even though it comes out of the negative force, it belongs to the positive force, meaning it's already a particle of the Creator, of the point of bestowal that starts to appear in a person. This oppositeness begins to thrive in him. You said once that a creature in comparison to the Creator is like a man toward a woman. Rev, but yes, I'm saying again, it's symbolic only, because I don't attribute a woman or man to different attributes of nature. Each of them are egoistic. only that a woman's ego is expressed in a slightly different way than a man's ego. And there's no difference between them. We're all creatures of one Creator, and in neither of us there's no advantage in anything, just the opposite. The correct implementation of the goal of creation, the right act, at the end of the day, it comes down to us all together reaching this goal. Senka, when you say together, what prevents a couple from managing their ego? They both want to be happy. Rav, they don't bring it. This couple doesn't understand where it exists under the influence of the forces. Why in our world is everything created and divided into male and female? You're making me get into it even though I don't want to. But let's get into it, because I understand that there's questions. I see the women from Rostov. They are happy. It made them happy, the subject. In our world, the relations between a creature and the Creator, in some manner, they remind us of the relationship between the genders, even though men and women have all the attributes. But in our world, still, we won't succeed in reaching a connection between us. We see all our attempts, as we attempt to develop between generations, we're becoming further apart. It appears to us in our world and in our time that we are capable of getting closer between genders, that we can understand man or woman. Women can understand men. No, in no way is that possible. Our ego, since it is developing in us, it's awakening us more opposition and rejection. If once upon a time, even 100 years ago, for sure 200 years ago, in all human history, women always knew what their fate was, and men knew what their fate was. The men had to bring home the bread, and the women had to be at home, in charge of the home. She belonged to her husband, and the men had to bring home money for the house to function, and they had their obligations divided between them, and they went through life together like this. Their grandparents gave them such an example. And suddenly, about 100 years ago, everything started coming apart. By the way, it's interesting. In almost every country, it began to happen. It's not that there's less developed countries or more developed. Of course, Sweden, Norway, countries that are more advanced than, say, African countries. But still, we see this breakage also exists in all the conservative families, even in Islamic societies that are more fanatic. It's happening there as well. The program of creation brings us to such a state. When we're not capable of doing anything, the ego grew to such an extent that we're not capable. You know, to put a woman into the home, for her to sit between the walls and educate the kids and cook soup, and the husband will walk around and make some money. No, it's impossible in any country. Therefore, we ask ourselves now, how should we continue to live? And here, precisely, we reveal the wisdom of Kabbalah, precisely to explain to us what is the correct connection between a man and a woman, that it's impossible to reach this connection today. in the normal way like we used to. If once upon a time we existed and we were capable through simple psychology and explanations, we were capable of reaching contact and balancing out our lives. This is the man's area, this is the women's area, this is the common area, A, B, C, D. Because why? In principle, every family carries on an example of thousands of years. Everything was clear. But now we don't have it. The connections don't exist. They came apart. The man doesn't want to work for the family. The woman also doesn't want the kids and the family, even though for her it's the most natural thing in the world, this motherly instinct. So that instinct doesn't really work anymore. They want a child, or maybe two. That's considered a lot of kids. And the same goes for the men. Why should I work for others? Let her go to work. And precisely here, there's suddenly careers that a woman can go out to work and demand equality to men. There's many jobs that precisely want women, where men can't do the work, administrative work, management. To make a long story short, something happened to the world in the last few years. And it's actually truly a revolution that we're not really paying attention to. And it's truly happening in a quiet way. For us to find ourselves in this question, how can we advance onward? What will we do with ourselves and the world? So it turns out that to reach contact between us, we're not capable. The ego is bigger than us. It's on top of us. Children we don't want. Family we don't want. We're capable of creating a world where each of us will be comfortable. I don't need anything. The robots of today will serve me, and tomorrow these robots, I really won't need anything. Those little helicopters, those drones will bring me pizza and Coke, and I won't need anything else. They'll come in through my window, and everything will be wonderful. Soon, we'll also have a little oven in my room. And really, they'll send it straight to the oven through the cables that prepared pizza. It will appear in the oven, and I will consume it. Everything will be done for me. The person will be disconnected from the regular world, natural world. No. It's interesting the way everything is happening. And here, of course, we can do something. It's a program that's embedded in nature, but we, from the side of the wisdom of Kabbalah, we can know what's going to happen next. And what's going to happen next is very interesting. We will reveal ourselves suddenly. On the one hand, we developed and developed, but we reached such a state of development that is putting us down. Ourselves, it's heavy. Apparently everything is okay, but on the other hand, I have nothing of it. I'm not enjoying it. Once I used to enjoy coming home from work in the evening, sitting down with the family. We used to have a meal together, the wife, the children, the whole family together. That was the format, the structure of the home that people got used to. And animals still do that today. When my ego grew, I understood it no longer suits me. Animals have it only for a certain short term in life. It's interesting because animals could have gotten a program of existence and family for their whole life. But no, they meet, they fornicate. Usually the female remains alone. She gives birth, raises the children, the male goes off somewhere, and there's actually no family. Afterwards, they don't hang around together and look after their offspring together. There's just a single animals. But that doesn't exist. And a person, for some reason, it's built that way. It's interesting. Because there's few examples like this in nature, that a female and male live together for a long period. In humanity, it existed. The psychologists explain it on the one hand that it's necessary to create and accumulate as much as possible, society, government, state. A person yearns for this. A person wants to develop from a small country to a big country. In ancient times, everything was common. It was small, but then it became necessary to be like this because everyone needed to have their own family, their own home. Not like with animals that have some cave in the forest, and they don't need more than this. So in our time, again, we're going into an unclear area. We're giving up what was normal for a person, family, couples, grandparents, children, etc. And we are dividing up, each to his own direction. The kids either live with the parents. Why should I? Where's there to go if things are good at home? Or they completely leave and don't relate to their parents at all. That's the state that we're in now. And now for your question. The question. What does the wisdom of Kabbalah say? I lost it. What does the wisdom of Kabbalah say? After you confused us, how does the wisdom of Kabbalah suggest solving this? We can't solve this opposition. It's impossible to solve. The issue is that nature doesn't want to solve oppositeness. It yearns to put us in such oppositeness that we won't be able to get out of it, or that we'll kill one another, or that we'll rise to the next degree, to the next floor above our nature. Senka, so this nature is really pushing us out in a systematic and serious way. Nature is showing us that you're not capable of relating to exist in an egoistic manner. Your ego is controlling you, and it's not for your own good. You will need to do something with it. You have to control it. It's interesting, the Creator that created us as egoistic and who controls our ego, he says that it's time, little birdies, it's time to fly out of the nest. I want to convey to you forces of controlling yourselves so that you'll be able to control yourselves, so that you yourselves will become in charge of your life, the controllers of your fate. In other words, you need to begin controlling your own ego. I'm giving you now this possibility, this opportunity. But for this, you must, in a very precise and clear manner, reinvent this, renew this connection with me, because this positive connection is me. If we take the negative ego inside you and we put on it my positive attributes and to control it, what does it mean to control it? It means you'll do a tzimtzum, constriction, not to work with it like it awakens you, these desires, but rather in a purposeful way. I now want, from this moment onward, to begin to advance toward personal control. Not that the Creator will control me, but I'll control myself. Let's say each of us is capable of imagining what it means to disconnect from the parents. Once we lived with our parents, and then we left. Okay, maybe not everyone. I see some young people among us. But let's imagine. So you left the house and you began gradually to build yourselves. It took time. On the one hand, we want to be free. On the other hand, we also rejected it because I like being free and also having the parents look after me. There was something like that, right? So this disconnection happens not in the most pleasant manner. Either people go to another city to study or they go to the army or something else happens. But at the end of the day, it's a disconnection. It's ripping something off. So the Creator is saying, you grew up, you separated, and now you need to begin working on yourselves independently. So this self-work is called work of the Creator, Avodat Hashem. Meaning, the moment that you become capable of taking from the Creator these two forces of control, the egoistic and altruistic, and begin to control by yourselves, like the horse's bridle, that I, the person, I'm riding the wagon, I'm holding the horse's reins, and I'm controlling my ego, like the animal in me is controlling the animal. The story isn't working out well, I'm not really yearning for it, but there's no other way around it. The Creator is leading us to this. Do you like this picture? That you, as a person, you control the horse's reins, and this horse inside you, and this animal in you, your ego. And wait a second, who's the person? The person is that same idea inside me, that I want to rise above the animal inside me and become equal to the Creator. What's next? We see all the friends in the whole world, lots of women. The question is, how much is the woman's work important in the wisdom of Kabbalah?
Is this a question for the International Women's Day? Okay, understood.
No,
so next webinar, which is going to be after the International Women's Day, we'll talk about that, right? Okay, so the question is how important the woman's work is in Kabbalah? What can I tell you? A man is more, just like in our world, a man is a more mobile creature. He's active, he's running, jumping, crossing oceans, and so on. But essentially what he's doing, as we used to say, he's doing it for the woman. Everything, he's doing it for the woman in order to set himself up for his woman. And the woman is helping him, because without her help, he's not going to succeed in anything. That's why advancement in our world, in the spiritual world, is built on a very good, precise cooperation between the men and women, these two groups together, because receiving from the Creator his governance, his work, it's currently being actualized on us, in us. Here we need both the male and female rein, for instance. The male rein on the right is the right rein, and the woman's rein is the left. And in this way, we can make ourselves similar to the Creator. So we have the International Women's Day coming up on March 8th. And whenever we talk about women, we need to emphasize that Kabbalah gives a woman, I would say, an even greater role, bigger role than that of a man. We're going to talk about it in the future. For now, it may seem that men are more prominent, they have the more prominent role, but the truth is that it's the woman's desire, the woman's force, the woman's participation that is more prominent and essential. So this holiday, the International Women's Day, there is a good reason for it to be there.
Рав, меня слышно?
Да.
Hello, Rav, can you hear me?
Насколько могут нивелироваться мужское и женское начало?
The men's beginning and women's beginning, to what extent can they be nullified as they advance spiritually? Can they be erased somehow? Rav, no differences between us cannot be erased. They will be actually more emphasized for their differences, they become more polar. But when that happens, we'll be able to analyze them correctly and to work with them correctly. Imagine you have a plus and minus, and you have an engine between them. If plus and minus is 5 volts, a tiny engine or tiny motor, but if it's 500 volts, then it's a very serious, big engine, right? So we need to understand that the tension between us is going to grow between the male and female part of humanity. Women are going to demand more and more as of what's due to them, and they will be right to do so, and we're going to be like children running away from responsibility, and we will be wrong to do so. But either way, nature is going to force us to use each other correctly so as to activate the optimal tension between us, this engine for it to work correctly between us and on everyone else. So don't think that we're going to move towards greater unity between us. In fact, we're going to be moving away from unity and towards discord and splitting. Today, we see women rising up and demanding equality at work, even though it doesn't exist yet, far from it. And for now, they want to be represented in the government and all kinds of bodies like that. We're not only going to have to acquiesce to them, but also give them such an opportunity, because we're going to understand that you cannot have plus without a minus in nature, or minus without a plus. So we're always going to need to aspire to balance, equilibrium between the female and male part. Not physically in the workplace and in the home and so on. No, in everything. You will see, even in our time, professions where there was never anything, any women in these professions, and you will see them being filled by women from left to right. They are entering these professions and they're correcting the men in them. We can't turn back. We simply need to understand this movement, this trajectory. So let's be ready for it. That's one. And two, it's not that this is what we need to do, present the opportunities. No. We need to activate this engine between us, the one that exists in nature, so that when I make contact with a woman, I don't short-circuit. So there's short-circuit error doesn't happen, and it has to happen under certain conditions, very specific conditions, and this is something that we still need to learn. Now, what is the right tension, the right load? I'll tell you, it's actually the only load that's possible, and that's the revelation of the Creator, attainment of the Creator. When a man and a woman make the correct contact and start working together correctly, they start attaining the Creator between them. Between them. And here lies the principle of our development. The source of our development. The reason for our development in the format that we see today. So people who understand it, and you guys who are listening and hearing this now, those who are approaching this, you need to rejoice, you need to be happy that we're making these great strides towards revealing the participation, the necessary participation of women in all of these processes. And ultimately, it should bring us to mastering spiritual space. Question. So this engine that you mentioned just now, Rav, yes, this engine is helping us build a Creator between us. Just as He has created us from above downward, we, by connecting together, we're building Him from below upwards. We're determining Him, defining Him, revealing Him. Otherwise, there's no way for us to do it. Question from Altai. If the family is a spiritual unit, then what kind of relationship between a man and woman can be achieved? Rav. Well, it's more than just a physical family. People are not going to exist in the same way as before, just to make kids and build a household. No, they're going to start uniting together according to the spiritual principle. Host, that's the purpose of their unity. Rav, yes, that is their purpose. Man and woman and the Shekhinah between them. That's what's written in the Torah. Host, what do they need to do in order for the Creator to be revealed? Rav, they need to unite together in all levels of their unity, physical, mental, emotional, psychological, and so on, for all of that to be for the sake of the Creator's revelation. Host, right now, in the women's part, there is more of the male essence, and in the men, it's more of the female half. That's what it seems like. Rough. What does he mean? I'm not sure what he means. Host. Well, like you said, you know, the women are aspiring to be leaders and so on. Rough. Well, that's for now. We're in a transition right now. That's how it manifests right now, but as we go on, we're going to understand better how to unite together for the Creator's revelation. Meaning, the next level of our existence, when we're rising above our bodies, and where life and death doesn't even matter to us anymore, we're existing in the soul. St. Petersburg.
Не слышно.
Can't hear you.
Не слышно.
We can't hear you. So maybe we'll ask a question from Sonia. Why is it that in many cultures a woman has an inferior role? Rav. Because all cultures are egoistic. And because the man is the emanation, he's similar to the Creator, the male part, and the female part is represents the creature, then it's as if the woman is always on a lower level. Krasnoyarsk? Rav, well, I think that women have more rights in certain areas. For instance, when conceiving a child, only a woman becomes the master, the mistress of the child, and she can decide whether to have an abortion or not. No one's even going to ask the man about that. Rav, we're not talking about rights that nature has determined in us. So all of your complaints about who's responsible for what, men or women, it doesn't matter. We have nothing to do with that. I don't even want to get into these discussions. It's not going to give us anything. Sochi. If a woman is not studying Kabbalah and a man is studying Kabbalah, they have different interests, different goals, can there be some sort of harmony between them that can be created? Rough. On a purely physical level, on the level of family, if they care about their family, then yes, of course. Each of them is going to have to sacrifice, compromise something. The issue is that a man who studies Kabbalah, for him it's much more difficult to compromise and pay a lot of attention to his woman, his kids, because Kabbalah occupies his mind, his heart, everything about him. So this is a problem. But I still think, look, again, it's a transition period. We can't escape it. We have to live through it. I think that very quickly it's going to turn to a typical, you're just the way things are, right? You'll have these people, those people. Today, either way, a family is a very wishy-washy definition. Like it doesn't really matter that a man is studying Kabbalah, like he goes to study somewhere at night. You see these things all around. You have families that are all ugly and disfigured in their own way. So it's similar to that. Tbilisi. Greetings. When a man and a woman, a husband and wife, start studying together, studying Kabbalah together, what should they do? How can they help each other? What can they avoid? Rough. I don't know if as soon as they start studying, they start thinking of how to help each other. Each of them is going through their own individual states, and you need a lot of time, months, years even, before they start realizing that there is something that they can do together, cooperate, invest spiritually. Several years will go by before they'll realize that the soul, that they have one common soul between the two of them. It's not simple. It's not going to happen today. We are at the very beginning of the path. So the best thing to do is to not get in the way. That's first and foremost. Each person has their own development. So you're a woman, you understand, perhaps, that kids before age of 3, they can't play with each other. They each play by themselves. Each child is sitting alone and playing with his own toys. If you tell him to play with someone else, he doesn't understand how to. He doesn't have that very clear sense of society, of someone else aside from him. The same thing with respect to Kabbalah. When we start studying Kabbalah, we don't feel others. We just close into ourselves, and that's it. So when this is happening, don't bother your husband or your wife. Let them develop to this level first independently. Moscow. Dear Rav, hello. I have the following question. What was the attitude of your teacher, Rabash, to the relationship between man and woman? I recently read a book from your teacher, a very interesting book. I read it in one sitting almost. And I'm just very curious how you talked about these topics with your teacher, about his family. Rav, well, there's nothing I can say about Rabash's family specifically. What I can tell you is that his wife understood what he was doing, on the one hand. On the other hand, she herself was not engaged in it. It was a different time. It was a completely, completely different age. You must understand, they were born at the beginning of the 20th century. So there is nothing that can be said about it. It's a completely different age, era, society. That's not us. That's absolutely not us. Even I wasn't like him in any way at the time. Host, you were saying that there was a very strong connection between them. Rav, there was an inner connection between them. He felt her and she felt him, even though they were not studying spiritually together. This is why I'm recommending, and I'm telling you about what's going to happen in your future, but it's still in the future. And I absolutely do not recommend for such relationships to be imposed on anyone in the family. St. Petersburg. Can you hear us now? Okay, good. So, again, my name is Clara, and my question is, can light come into the woman through a man who is married? Rav, the light does not come to a woman through a man. That's first. Second, you cannot have a relationship with a married man, Clara. So, again, dear teacher, what if he's not studying Kabbalah, but he's drawing the light somehow? Rav, that cannot happen, Clara, that is impossible. Okay, thank you. Rav, see how interesting. A woman who thinks that a man who's not even studying Kabbalah, but in her eyes, he's something special, so he's drawing the light. Host, Clara is actually a wonderful student. Rav, yes, she's a wonderful student, and we do appreciate her very much, but in this, she's making a mistake, which we need to correct. Host, Kirill is asking about your example of the horse and reins. So what is the left rein and the right rein, and what is the whip that if I want to control my ego, ride my ego? Rav, there are many problems here. There are many issues in this, the cart, the horse, the reins. It's a whole system. And we're going to study it. It's a whole system called spiritual parzuf. This whole system, the heart with the horse, the cart with the horse, and the reins, and the whip, this is all an allegory for the soul. Host, a question from Odessa. How should a man support a woman, and how, conversely, a woman should support a man? Rav, I would rather not get into it now. You just need to understand each other and to give each other the ability, the chance to study. Just support. I don't want to go deeper into it because you might start ruining things. You know, in your efforts to support each other, you might start wrecking havoc and destruction. Kabbalah activates such great forces between us that you really have to be careful. You absolutely should not make any sudden movements. Hold on, we have a question from Rostov-na-Dono. Rostov-on-Don. Hello, to continue the question, if a man is studying and his wife is not resisting him, then clearly a man is the provider of the light. But what if it's the opposite? A woman is studying, a man is not against it, but then after as time goes by, he starts turning against it a little bit. What happens then? Rav, a woman influences a man much more so than a man influences a woman. We know this. If a woman starts studying Kabbalah, the man will follow her. Necessarily, it's going to happen. But if a man starts studying Kabbalah, a woman may not follow him. This is clear. We see this very clearly in all the nations, in all the countries, in all the rural groups. We see this tendency. So, any way you slice it, a man listens to his woman. We even have a Women's Day, International Women's Day. There is no Men's Day, right? The woman always thinks that she doesn't get enough attention. She wants more and more and more. So, when the woman is studying Kabbalah, she can bring her whole family into the right direction. But if a man is studying Kabbalah, he needs to perform tricks, basically steal this time from the family, and just like run, like just in spurts, leap, run and leap. So, dear ladies, I would like you to make your efforts to give the men, you know, the right time and space to study. Moscow. Hello, I have a question. Is there Kabbalah astrology? And if it does, Rav, no. Let's stop it there. There is no astrology in Kabbalah, there is just Kabbalah. There is no fortune-telling, reading the stars, at least not in Kabbalah. Other beliefs and systems they may, you can find all sorts of nonsense. Host red strings, holy water, meditation, all kinds of stuff. Rav, none of that exists. Spirituality is only within the person, and it is developed without any connection to any sort of physical attributes of our world. Not with the stars, only within me. Only what's within me. So, host, we have a few questions. One from Paris. I know how great the male ego is, and I know how falsified it has become. Can women save the world? Rav, yes, women will save the world. If they want to, if they desire it, the men are going to give in. Host, so that's a good topic for the women, the International Women's Day. Rob, no, even beyond that, if I am, whenever I'm in a society in very different countries and cultures, and I ask, how are things in the home? Who's in charge? Yes, in Chile, I asked this question. And either I hear this big male question, oh, of course, it's me. You remember how his wife responded? Oh, please, what are you talking about? Yes, and he immediately kind of like fell quiet and started looking small and meek. And this all stems from the spiritual root. So, again, we congratulate our dear women with the International Women's Day. We wish for all year to be just like this day, for you to be getting flowers and kisses and all sorts of love, and for you to give the men the right kind of direction, because they can run away, escape anywhere, and you need to be like the mother and manage them and steer them towards the Creator. Men need this. If not for women, men would turn this world into a sandbox. Just one big sandbox. All sorts of touristy entertainment and race cars and sports and anything other than the right kind of development alongside women. This is indeed the case. So, and especially this is true in Kabbalah. So, we can see over the past 100 years how women rushed forward, became independent, infiltrated all of governmental bodies. That's because we're moving towards the correction of the world in which the female force and strength and devotion, all of these things are necessary for the attainment of the upper goal. So, men, listen to women. And in every group, I recommend that you raise this woman's force as much as possible. We're still in development, obviously, but you do need to give them the chance to shine and allow them to take advantage of their constancy, their devotion, their dedication in the group. Host. So a few announcements. We still have campuses in Moscow. that are going to start soon, and also there is a registration to a new course, The Fundamentals of Kabbalah, and the Kab Academy site is open. It opens once every 6 months. It's a very serious study course. And all whatever comments and feedback you want to talk about, you'll be able to do it there. Rav, do we have a task for the week? Rav, we don't have a week. We have 4 days until March 8th, the International Women's Day. We need to prepare, and we need to congratulate the women in all of our groups, the entire world, for the women that are studying with us, our faithful helpers and partners. We need to be grateful to them and show this gratitude to them. And we're all going to reach the goal together when we support each other and work together. So I wish you the best of luck, the best of success. I want all of you to be as successful as possible. I truly wish this for all of you. Farewell.